Randy with you here on a Tuesday morning. Randy McMichael out this week, down in the at a beautiful beach location celebrating. Today is his wife's birthday, so happy birthday to Donna McMichael as they celebrate. Abe Gordon in for Randy all week long. Good morning to you, Abe. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. My throat's a little sore. I think it might have just been from running in the cold. I don't know.
Could be. Tough day to have a sore throat, though, when you're pulling double duty.
I'll be all right.
Okay.
It's not that sore.
Power through it. It was sore enough to bring it up, like the first thing you said on the air.
I didn't know what else to say to how am I doing? Like,
I don't.
Because what is, I mean, you know me. We've worked together long enough. Like, what is my regular answer? I'm doing all right, I guess.
I guess, let me rephrase it, and I'll rephrase it for the remainder of the week. And then you can just sort of have carte blanche to lead things off, and then I'll try to steer things back towards maybe where we wanted them to go. What's got you fired up this morning? Because there must be something.
Yeah, there's always something.
What is it?
NBA getting going tonight. I'm really interested for that, and I know we'll talk about the Hawks a lot more tomorrow.
Sure.
Because I've already started on the rundown, and we're leading with Hawks.
That's opening.
Just get ready.
Right, unless something.
Yeah.
Right, but it's opening night tomorrow night for the Hawks. Opening night tonight for the NBA.
For a couple of teams. Mm-hmm. The other thing is just like last night with the Bucks. Obviously, it was, as a Falcon fan, we were rooting against the Bucks. You never root for injuries.
Unless you're a Cleveland fan.
Well, right. Good call. But, I mean, man. What an opportunity now. Like it again, don't root for injuries, but there's not a better week to be heading into Tampa.
Yeah,
or week with what they're dealing with.
Yeah, I mean, it's easy to sort of be of two minds about it. Like, nobody's happy that guys get hurt. Nobody wanted those guys
also,
to get hurt.
But also, as a Falcons fan, take the advantages.
Of course. Those guys aren't playing, and that's an advantage that the Falcons have. Now, maybe that ramps up the pressure a little bit. I would say that it probably does, coming off the performance that they had on Sunday against Seahawks.
Yeah, don't sleepwalk and take another team lightly just because of injury.
Yeah, I know.
Don't get me started on that discussion.
Now I worry that they're going to see that
Mike Evans can't beat us
and Godwin are injured, and they're going, oh, good, we can not try again. Because obviously they tried, but whatever happened on Sunday against the Seahawks, where they showed up flat and just sort of sputtered their way through 60 minutes and into a 20-point loss to a team that they're not 20 points worse than. I mean, you can lose games to anyone in the NFL.
Any points worse than.
No, I think they're better. Yeah, I think they're better than the Seahawks, certainly with a home field advantage. But they weren't on Sunday, and that's the way that it goes. So now that Tampa has played and pretty well got smoked last night until the end, and then they worked their way back into
it. I'll tell you what, because we were talking, you went 4-0 in your picks.
Okay.
Bo went 4-0 in his picks, and I needed the Ravens last night, and Tampa starts this miracle under 6-minute comeback. I'm like, hey, I need this win.
How much did you need? How much were they?
If they had scored
spread?
One more touchdown.
Okay. So the spread
I was three and a half.
Three and a half. Okay.
If they had gotten one more, I was like, this. Don't cost me this.
That would have qualified as a bad beat
for me.
Sure,
yeah.
Yes. When they were up, when they went on a run of 34 consecutive points, and when they scored that final touchdown, I was like, all right, this is fun to watch. I'm enjoying this. Because I love watching Lamar Jackson play. I love watching Derrick Henry play, and what that offense has turned into is incredible. But I was like, all right, we'll get a little extra sleep tonight. We'll just go to bed. 34-10 seems like a time to turn it in.
I wanted to.
I don't need to click over to ESPN Plus, no offense to the Cardinals and Chargers, but I'm not watching that. Cardinals won 17-15.
Good game.
Yeah.
Field goal to win it.
It was a close game.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Something like that.
You know what I mean? So, I think sometimes there's a difference between a good finish and a good game.
Fair
or
enough.
A close game and a good game. They were doing a good job on the Manning cast of checking in with Scott Hansen from Red Zone. They'd have him come on and give you a little updates every now and then and check you in on the game. But yeah, fun night last night for the most part. Obviously hate to see people get injured, but you're right. That is a benefit to the Falcons headed into their matchup against the Bucks on Sunday. Chance to go 2-0 against the Bucks this year. Chance to get to 4-0
in the division.
Yeah. And really separate themselves.
Could be 3-0
on
the road.
The problem is that, yeah, absolutely. Yes. 3-0 on the road. Great too. You're 2-3 at home. Frustratingly.
We'll just get the 6 seed, play road games the whole time.
Yeah, just exactly. Road game your way to the Super Bowl. Yeah, the problem is you start taking care of business in the division, but if you're not taking care of business in these other games that you absolutely can win, like the one on Sunday against Seahawks, it's just frustrating. But anyway, lot of time this week to get into that, and we will spend plenty of time talking about what it's going to look like on Sunday against the Falcons and the Bucks. Mike Conti going to join us at 11:40. I'll be honest with you, I did not expect to be talking about an Atlanta United playoff game. when we thought about Mike Conti being on every single Tuesday at 11:40. But here we are. They've got a game tonight right here on the radio station against Montreal. Joseph Martinez plays for them. If they win, they move on to take on Miami and Messi, and that would be a lot of fun. So hopefully they can do that. We'll talk to him about that tonight. The Hawks season starts tomorrow night, and Jalen Johnson just got a whole bunch of money.
Cha-ching!
5-year, $150 million contract extension for Jalen Johnson. Kind of felt like, I mean, we knew they were trying to get something done before the season started, just with where he was at with his rookie contract, the way that he's played and all of that. You saw some other guys that were in a similar situation to him as far as their careers. And
well, there was a deadline on Monday.
Right, right.
So he had to get it done or else it would just kind of creep itself into the season.
Right, you have to get it done before the season starts. I like it. I know that you see the $150 million number, and that's a big number. It certainly is. Well, I think it is historically. I think you still, I mean, look, $150 million is a lot of money, period. It's just a lot of money.
All right. So right? Obviously, it is a lot of money.
That, and I think that's it for a lot of people. You sort of see that, and it's like, oh, that's really, he's good. Have I seen? And you have to put it into the context of a couple of things.
We've been burned before.
True. But what the NBA is currently, financially, I mean, guys
and continues
are just
to be.
Getting
it's just more and more.
If you really want to take a trip down a mind bender of contracts, just Google highest paid NBA players and look at the next like 2 to 3 years out of what some of these guys are going to be making. It's wild. I think it's a healthy thing to just separate that from reality, because it's not reality. It's the reality for them, but it's not the reality for, you know, most of us that are looking at it and thinking about it and talking about it. In reality for the Hawks, like if Jalen Johnson becomes the guy that they think that he can be, $30 million a year is going to be a bargain in a year from now. Like
it's the Ronald Acuña deal.
It's a beautiful. It's not quite that, but
well,
he's
not the best player in the game like Acuña is. But it trends in that direction. You, if he becomes what we think he can become, which is potentially good enough to supplant Trey as the one, potentially. I don't mean face of the franchise. I mean just on court, focal point stuff. $30 million's nothing.
Yeah.
That guy's making 65, 70 mil.
I guess you have to ask yourself what you think that he, like, everyone has a different opinion of what his ceiling is, I suppose, and no one knows what it is, really. I think I'm a little bit less
gung-ho to jump there.
I think that he's really good.
So
I think he's
I'll
a really good player. I don't know that there's going to be a day where he's the number one option on this team with Trey, because I think Trey is... For all that he isn't, I still think Trey and what he does offensively is one of the best weapons that you've got.
Let me follow up on that. Do you think right now Trey is a top 30 player in the league?
I think he is. I do. I think that he is. Okay. I think he's probably somewhere between 20 and 25.
Do you think he can get better than 25 or 20? Because that's where I'm headed. I think in a perfect world, and obviously... You run the simulation 100 times, maybe Jalen Johnson doesn't reach it. But
I think Trey can be a top 15 player in the NBA.
Do you? Okay.
Given the right supporting cast on defense.
All right.
Now, that's reliant on others. Well, what I think the argument you're going to make is that Jalen Johnson independently can become something like that.
I love Trey. I think there's probably a very high ceiling for Trey. I think there might even be a higher one for Jalen.
Well, there's just such a limit with Trey on the
physicality
defensive side
too,
of the ball.
The physical aspect.
Like he's just
of it,
not
yeah.
ever going to be, you know.
And they keep changing the rules to you know, burn Trey to the ground, which doesn't help.
He seemed to manage, though. He seemed to still be very productive offensively with all the rule changes. But Jalen Johnson got a 5-year, $150 million contract extension last night. Love to see it. Season starts tomorrow, and hopefully he and Trey can start building something. I do think building is what this year is going to be about. I think there'll be some good moments. I think there'll be some tough moments because I think that they're really young and they're going to be building together. But cool to see him get rewarded for having a nice start to his career. All right, we'll come back. We'll get into what's trending here on a Tuesday morning. Thanks for being with us. This hour is brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com, get a guaranteed offer on your home today, and start packing. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Third down and 7 from the Bucs 13. Lamar wants to throw. Slings it. Complete. Henry at the 5. The King is in! 5 touchdown passes for Lamar. And with 6:32 left to play in Tampa, the Hayes and Lamar.
Yeah, it was. For all intents and purposes, that was the Ravens beating down the Bucs last night on Monday Night Football. I guess nobody told the Bucs because the Bucs made a feverish comeback in the fourth quarter. They scored 21 points, recovered an onside kick. Unfortunately, in the attempt to make that comeback, had some pretty significant injuries, the most notable being Chris Godwin, who they didn't even show the replay again because it was so – you could see it when it happened. They didn't, I think, smartly show it. If you want to see it, you can go on Twitter and people will show
sure
it to
don't.
You. But it's pretty gross. I mean, you dislocate an ankle, that foot's going to be pointed. And so he's going to miss the remainder of the year. You were just telling me about a moment that he had with the trainer as he's getting carted off the field.
Said the trainer, and he says, back to work. And I assume he voices the trainer's name. It looked like he said John, but I don't want to miss, you know, it may not be John.
Yeah, John.
But he just looks at him like they're square in the face, just relatively calm, and says, back to work, John.
Damn.
It's a hard moment.
Yeah, that's a tough that's a tough guy badass moment for sure. Certainly sucks for him and Tampa. Mike Evans hurt also. So their next game's against the Falcons, and that's certainly something that the Falcons will benefit from, not having them on the field.
You think AJ Terrell can defend Sterling Shepard?
Jalen McMillan? I think he can.
McMillan dropped a touchdown yesterday.
I think he can. He goes to being their number one now, right? Or
Shepard probably.
Is it Shepard?
Kate Otten? Wide receiver one?
I mean, Kate Otten went for 100 yards last night. Kate Otten and Jalen McMillan, just a couple Huskies. Just a couple Washington Huskies catching touchdowns. They don't play for the team anymore, though, Abe, so you got nothing to worry about on Saturday. I'm sure you weren't worried, but...
I already picked Indiana in my picks.
That was my pick. The spread is...
6.5.
Is disrespectful.
I took it at 6.5.
Six and a half.
If it changes in my favor, I'll adjust it. Not in my
Indiana should be favored by 16.5.
Well, that's why I locked it in at 6.5.
What a joke. Anyway, we got all week to talk about that. That's where game day is. Going to be in Bloomington. But as for last night, the Ravens continue to roll. They've won a bunch in a row now. Lamar's playing. Seems like we say this every year, but Lamar's playing better than he did even the last time that he won the MVP. I guess just give it to him again. 5 touchdowns last night. Derrick Henry runs for 169 yards on 15 carries. One of which, I mean, he just gets out on the sideline, and I realize somebody caught him, but, like, Diggs shouldn't be moving that fast. It's not fair. Shouldn't be doing that. But he was, and good luck trying to stop him. I guess the guy was able to tackle him all the way down the field, but...
He took an angle.
No thanks.
Took an angle.
No thanks.
He almost tiptoed the sidelines again later in the game and almost broke one. I didn't see him step out. They blew it dead, but...
Yeah.
He's Lamar...
Also a freak.
Thing about Lamar, I mean, did you? I know. I think you had gone to bed. No. You saw the Mark Andrews touchdown.
Yeah.
Like, what a blank you moment because it's a chip shot field goal to go up 3 possessions.
Yeah, we'll
and
just
they're
go
like,
for it.
We'll just
let's go for it.
It's like fourth and three.
Yeah. We did. Yeah. Exactly. Because they got nothing on third down.
And he is like, wide open in the end zone. We're like,
and that's
all right,
the exact same play they ran last week. And I don't know if it's the exact same play.
Right.
I'm sure. Tell me the nuance difference, but it looked very similar to the play they ran last week that got Mark Andrews a touchdown in a similar spot.
The offensive confidence for that team because of what, like, there was a game where, like, it's just covered downfield and he starts rolling left and it's just like 17 yards on a first down, like so easy.
Yep.
Everything looks like it's coming easy to him, which is how it looks when the top quarterbacks in the game are operating at that level. Like, for Brady, it always felt easy, looked easy. Same thing with Peyton. Right now, in the run game, in the pass game, all of it, play calling, like just complete command, complete control, it looks easy for Lamar.
Yeah, the hard part for them is this is kind of the same script, right? This is sort of, now they have Derrick Henry now, so it's a bit different, but this is kind of what it looked like last year for the majority of the season on his way to winning his second MVP. Then they get to the playoffs.
Yeah,
and
if the narrative doesn't change, then you're still stuck.
They just kind of, they kind of lose their identity
that's
in that game.
That's one team.
Against, yeah, that's right.
It's one team.
It is. It is. It's
and
one,
that team
it's
doesn't,
team.
I know they're the last undefeated, but they don't look like they have.
Yeah, they didn't last year either.
I agree.
Until the playoffs came around.
Now the defense is still ramped up. I tried to pick them up in fantasy this week.
Good,
they're playing the Raiders. I'll take that chance.
No, I know. That's the hard part. Lamar is very, very good. He is incredible. He's one of the best.
No, but you're right.
In his generation.
Henry's supposed to be the difference.
He just happens to also be playing at the same time as one of the greatest of all time.
Yeah.
And he's got to play him in the playoffs every single year. Maybe this year's different. But my point was, the hard thing is, this is all great, and they
none
should enjoy
it.
Second
until,
of it, right?
Yeah.
You got to do it then.
This is the Penn State argument.
It's the Penn State argument.
Yeah.
It's the Braves. You know
I
what I mean?
I won't talk about that.
All this stuff is fun, but you
got
to get back to the postseason
one.
And do it. They did. They did. There's no doubt about it. All right. Where do we want to go from here? That's right. Kirk Cousins talking about Tampa. Here he is.
You know, this is pro football, and you have to go back and have candor about, hey, I got to be better. This has to be better. Make the improvements. Corrections, and then it put together a strong week of practice, and then go with a resolve to Tampa and plan on playing your best football you possibly can. That's what it takes to win in this league, and that's what we have to do.
Yep, that's all true, whether it's Tampa or anybody else. I guess that was specifically about Tampa because that's who they play next, but yeah, hopefully they do. We got all week to get into it. And so we will spend a lot of time this week getting into it. Atlanta United's got a playoff game tonight against Montreal. The wild card round, Joseph Martinez is on the other side.
Yes.
Last time they faced Joseph Martinez and Montreal, he scored a couple goals and they lost.
Yes.
Hopefully that doesn't happen tonight.
The first goal he scored was off of a boring free kick, which was just atrocious defending. The second one took some quality. I mean, the first one took quality and skill, but like poor defending. And so it's got to be the focal point, man. Like, that guy's been one of the best goal scorers in the MLS, even through an injury, over the last decade.
He
can't get free.
One of the best goal scorers in the history of the MLS.
Yeah, yeah. He can't get free like that. And so that's obviously a focal point, and we'll see how it goes. Atlanta United's so impossible to predict.
Yeah,
nothing carries over game to game, half to half. I don't.
Their season was supposed to be over a month ago, and they just kept on figuring out ways to win and getting help, and
they got a lot of help. They got a lot of help.
And look, they're in. So keep on winning. Now that you're
I've seen nothing that makes me to believe that they can't go into Montreal and compete.
Okay. Pre-game starts at 6:30 tonight. Abe will be a part of that coverage. Kickoff at 7:30 with Mike Conti and Jason Longshore. Mike Conti will join us in about 15 minutes from right now, live from Canada. I assume he's got to be in Canada. Hopefully got those international roaming minutes. They don't do that anymore. The NBA season starts tonight. Two games tonight, and then everybody else starts tomorrow, including the Hawks. So we'll spend more time on the Hawks tomorrow. We mentioned it in the first segment, but if you didn't hear or haven't seen it yet, Jalen Johnson and the Hawks agree to a five-year contract extension worth $150 million. Congrats to him, man. They sign him up long-term, and hopefully now him and Trey can really start to build something because that's the core. Those are the guys. You got Reese Oshea, of course, the number one pick. Dyson Daniels, who you traded for, and there's other pieces. But that's the 1-2 punch that this team is stacking their chips behind, and hopefully it works out. As for tonight, you got the Knicks and the Celtics. Celtics defending champs at 7:30, and then the Timberwolves and the Lakers at 10. LeBron James and his son will be playing together. First time in NBA history that the father and son have played together. Ken Griffey Jr. and Ken Griffey Sr. are going to be there courtside, which is just awesome, as far as I'm concerned, and should be a fun night to start the NBA season.
Is there a chance they don't see the floor together?
0% chance. They will definitely.
Like there's no game
point,
situation where like we can't do it right now, man.
I don't think so. I think they will find a way to get them on the court together.
Is it
some
like
point.
Senior night? Bronny gets to start and it gets pulled
not
10 seconds. Ten seconds into the game.
I would guess just to be safe because I think the Wolves are probably going to handle the business tonight.
Right, if it's
them.
A blowout, you can get 2 minutes at the end of the game.
I just think they'll probably find a way to get him into the rotation end of the second quarter. Just get him out there for like the final, whatever it is, final 60 seconds, 45 seconds.
Are they
seconds,
on the
like
court
that.
Together for more than 90 seconds? Is that a good number?
That's a good number. Probably not.
Ooh.
Probably not, because that would be the moment there. And then if it does end
they
up
get
being,
a foul with 48 seconds
well, if it
left
ends up
in the first half.
Being a blowout. At the end, LeBron's not going to be on the
right.
floor. So Bronny
but he might
be
for a couple minutes if his son's playing.
Right. Or if they're blowing the Timberwolves out, maybe that's how you find a way to do it, and then they can actually play together for a little while. But if they're getting blown out, that's probably not a great time to try to do that.
I know a lot of it's about Bronny, and I get that. Dalton Connect might actually make a difference for that team, though.
Yeah, he might. I mean,
he can score.
He can
still score, man.
I don't know exactly what his role is going to be. But
score.
Yeah, I know, but
That's it.
He's going to come off the bench. How many minutes is he going to play? All that kind of stuff.
36 in the preseason.
Yeah. Kobe Bufkin had 31 in the preseason game. So
now he's hurt.
Yeah, now he's hurt.
No.
But yeah, look, I don't know.
Are you looking forward to the late game more than the early one, the Knicks?
I am, because I love
Rebuilt Knicks, a little different.
I love the Timberwolves. I love the Minnesota Timberwolves, and I'll be honest with you.
How are they different
without
Kat?
Not to be a hater, I love them without Karl Anthony Towns, who is probably my least favorite player to watch in the NBA.
Well, you can watch him in that first game.
Because he's so good, but so frustrating.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they replaced him with some tougher guys that maybe fit a little bit better. Naz Reid now starts instead of him next to Gobert. And, I mean, the Timberwolves made the Western Conference Finals last year, so I think they're poised for another run. I think the Celtics are the class of the East, and I still don't think it's all that close. I think kind of like last year, the Knicks.
Who's even second?
And a handful. Probably the Knicks.
Knicks, Pacers.
I don't buy the Pacers.
If they're ever healthy, Philly?
Which they aren't going to be. I wouldn't be surprised if the Pacers have a
step back.
No, I think the Pacers are definitely going to take a step back.
Is Halliburton focused?
I wouldn't be surprised if the Sixers have a nice regular season.
Yeah.
But you're not going to convince me that a team of guys that can't stay healthy and have never won anything together are going to get over the hump by adding a guy who can't stay healthy and has never won anything. You know what I mean? Because that was the move that they made to add.
I'm interested to see. I don't know if you buy like this storyline. I am interested to see how the Celtics handle being on top, kind of a hunted mentality thing. I'm interested to see how that plays with guys like Tatum and Brown.
Yeah.
I don't know if it makes a difference. It certainly won't like make a difference in a one game tonight, but like just over the course of the season.
Yeah, I don't think they'll win 64 games again.
Right.
I don't think they'll do what they did last year just from a prove it standpoint. Mid-50s, something like that, just because you don't have to.
I would say, is that about just getting to the playoffs?
Yeah. But no, I mean, I think that Knicks, Bucks, obviously, if they can stay healthy. The rumors are Damian Lillard looks really good. Last year kind of came in a little bit out of shape, apparently. I think Orlando is going to be pretty solid.
They're a fun team to watch.
Yeah.
I don't know how good they are on the top end, but they're fun to watch.
Play good defense.
Yeah.
And then, of course, the Hawks.
Sleeper.
Yep. Don't sleep on them. That's what they say. I'm not. I'm awake. I'm wide awake. I've had a lot of coffee. Mike Conte is going to join us next. We'll talk a little Hawks with him as their season starts tomorrow. We'll talk some Atlanta United with him as well, as they've got a playoff game tonight. So don't go anywhere. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
50 seconds.
Yeah, I was going to say, we get a Montreal artist. At least we got a Canadian. It's all right. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on a Tuesday morning. 20 minutes away from getting into an NFL no huddle. Week 7 in the books after Monday Night Football's doubleheader last night. We'll start looking ahead to the Falcons and the Bucks as well. Bucks with some devastating injuries last night on Monday Night Football. If you have not heard about those yet, we'll get you all caught up in 20 minutes from right now. Before we do that, though, this hour is brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com, get a guaranteed offer on your home today, and start packing. We head up to Montreal, where Mike Conte is getting set to call an Atlanta United playoff game tonight. Mike, how are you?
I'm great, Andy. How are you?
Good. I forgot to play your intro. I got so wrapped up in all the stuff I was doing there, I forgot to play your intro, so let's play it. There we go. That's why it felt weird. Hey, Mike. Good morning. How are you?
Hey, Andy. That feels much less weird.
All right. So we got a playoff game tonight between Atlanta United and Montreal. For those of us that thought the Atlanta United ended a few weeks ago and they kept staving off elimination, who deserves most credit for that? Like, they obviously had to fight against the odds for a number of weeks now. Who deserves the most credit for that?
Well, I think Tino deserves a lot of credit for it. I mean, he's the leader and the tactician and the person who's selecting the lineups. And I think he deserves a lot of credit, as does Brad Guzan, because of the leadership aspect that he brings. But I think if you're talking about just performances on the pitch, I think Pedro Amador has been a big, big difference maker for this team since he came in the summer transfer window. And it feels like every match he plays with Atlanta United, he gets a little better. And he had an assist on the early goal by Saba on Saturday, which was enormous. Atlanta United has spent the least amount of time in the leading position of any of the 29 teams in MLS this year to get a goal in the 7th minute against Orlando and just get out on the front foot and put yourself in a position for Atlanta United where they're not chasing a game, where they have a little bit of a cushion. That's enormous. And Pedro Amador created that first goal. He's been creating a lot of really good goal-scoring opportunities for this team. So if you're looking for difference makers, if you're looking for, you know, what's changed over the last nine matches since Leagues Cup where Atlanta United's gone 3-3-3, Pedro Amador really stands out to me as one of the big difference makers.
Mike, obviously Atlanta United has had some issues over the course of the season carrying momentum game to game. And I think one of those reasons might be they don't really have a go-to. I think we've seen at times Daniel Rios has been there. Saba, as you mentioned, sometimes it's from the back, it's Goose. Amador, who's been outstanding. Jay Fortune. When you look at a game tonight matching up with Joseph Martinez in Montreal, who are you looking towards to step up for Atlanta United?
Well, I think you need to get more production from Alexi Moranchuk. Ultimately, Eve, as you know, because you've been covering this team all year, the difference makers in Major League Soccer are your designated players. You know, there are a lot of really, really good players in this league. Every team has really good players. But under the salary structures, the league really relies on its designated players to be the elite difference makers. And Atlanta United, you know, after selling Thiago Almada and selling Yorgos Yakimakis earlier in the season, they really haven't had too much difference-making performances out of the player spot. Alexi Moranchuk's got to be that guy tonight. He could have iced the game Saturday if he played against Orlando right after halftime. Wasn't very well taken. I thought Moranchuk was not as effective as he needed to be in that game on Saturday. I think a good performance by Moranchuk tonight could be a real difference. It could also really give Montreal some problems. You know, the thing about Montreal is they concede a lot of goals. If you look at their season stats, they concede a lot of goals. They don't score a lot of goals. If you get up early on this team, if you put them under pressure, especially with someone like Moranchuk getting into dangerous spots early, I think that's going to throw Montreal off balance. That's going to give them some problems where they might have to pivot. But Alexi's got to be a lot better on Saturday in Orlando.
What are some of the just sort of the season long, I don't know, season long, but recent games played factors into all of this? I know Atlanta United had to win over the weekend in order to even get to this game on Tuesday. As far as how tired guys are going to be and all of that. Also, is Montreal traditionally a tough place to go in and win? Like, what are some of the other factors that are going to play into tonight for Atlanta United?
Yeah, I'll start kind of backwards on that. Yes, Montreal is historically a difficult place for Atlanta United to come in and win. However, they did win here last year. So they have won here. This isn't like going to Red Bulls where you barely even scored a goal, let alone one. You know, you have a slightly better history up here. One thing that I think is really going to help Atlanta United tonight, from the standpoint of having to play on the road, the weather up here is insane. It might actually be warmer up here than it is in Atlanta, if you can believe that. So we're talking about kickoff temperatures near 70 degrees, clear skies, like, that's a huge, huge break. It could be really, really cold this time of year in Montreal. It's not going to be. The weather's perfect. The other, I think, really big break that will help Atlanta United tonight is right up the hill from where I sit right now, the Canadiens have a home game tonight against the New York Rangers.
Oh.
So that's where I think much of the sporting attention for the city will be tonight. I think there's a chance the crowd on a couple days' notice on a Tuesday night with the Canadiens in town might not be very big. So this might feel a little more like a neutral venue situation than like going into a snake pit like you do at Red Bull Arena or Orlando or some of those other places. I think those factors align in Atlanta United's favor. As far as the legs are concerned, that's a really good point, really good question, because not only has Atlanta United had to turn around and play Saturday and then Tuesday, they've also had travel in the midst of that. They had to fly back from Orlando Saturday night. They had a really, really late kind of regen day on Sunday, did a walkthrough yesterday, and then got right back on a plane. Montreal was home Saturday, and they're home tonight. They have not had the same travel difficulties as Atlanta United. But I did ask around yesterday. Some of the guys on the team and on the technical staff told me they really aren't worried about the turnaround Saturday to tonight. They would be much more concerned about the turnaround if they have to, well, if they win tonight, which obviously they want to, but then having to turn around and play again Friday in Fort Lauderdale against the Super Friends, that would be, they say, a much, much tougher turnaround than what they're dealing with tonight. As far as relevant games that have come into play recently, look, there's a very recent meeting between these teams at the Benz, October 2nd, Montreal beat Atlanta United 2-1. Joseph scored twice. If that doesn't happen, if Atlanta United wins that game, this game tonight is being played at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. So Atlanta United has played Montreal twice this year. They lost both meetings. The performance up here in July was not very good, but Atlanta United had a red card in that game. Steven Gregerson got thrown out early in the second half, and as you know, Andy and Abe, I mean, red cards really dramatically change games. Both games were decided by one goal. Keep in mind this also. If you're even after 90 minutes, if you're level, you go straight to penalties. There's no extra time tonight. You go straight to penalties. So, in a way, I mean, if the legs are wobbly and Rob Valentino makes that judgment early that the legs are wobbly and this is going to affect the match, in a way, then, you might be fighting just to try to get to penalties and try to win it that way and move on. You don't want to get to that point, but that is an option.
Mike, just looking for a quick injury update. Steven Gregerson left with leg tightness on Saturday. Do we know how available he is tonight?
He'll play. As far as I know, he was not on the injury report yesterday, so I think he's good to go.
Norwegians are tough. I mean, it's just one of the hallmarks of our people. What did you make of the – I mean, obviously everyone's happy for Jalen Johnson and the contract that he got last night. Were you surprised to see that happen last night, or is this something that was sort of coming?
Not totally shocked. It reminds me a little bit, and I hope this works out a lot better than the last instance I'm thinking about. Remember they did that deal with Dennis Schroeder right before the start of the 2015-16 season? It was kind of like this. It was – wow, well, they don't have to do that, but that's kind of a team-friendly number, but also a good number for Dennis. I'm praying this works out much better than Dennis Schroeder worked out here, and I think it will. I mean, believe me, Jalen Johnson's, first of all, totally different player, different type of person, everything. This is a really good thing for Jalen Johnson, and I'm happy for him. If he continues on this development track that he's on right now, Andy, I think this is going to turn out to be a team-friendly deal in the long run. It is a little bit of a leap of faith, you know, 5 years at $150 million, but the way that Jalen has developed over the last 2 years, I think it's a reasonable leap of faith. And I think now, well, it's pretty obvious that the Hawks, and if you look at the way that they've been marketing themselves this offseason and everything, this is really Trey and Jalen's team.
Yep.
You hope that Ricochet can become the third big component of that. I think there's a good chance he will be. I really like what I've seen from him so far. This is the team. I mean, this is going to be your group going forward. You're not going to be building through free agency. You don't want to be building through the draft. This is your group. And I think you've made a statement, obviously, in the offseason by getting rid of DeJounte that this is Trey's team. And he made another statement last night that this is now Trey and Jalen Johnson's team. And I'm cool with that.
With that said, Mike, and I agree with you, like I think ever since the Eastern Conference Finals run, this team has kind of been mixed about the direction and what the plan ahead is. And now you certainly have a defined plan, and Dyson Daniels is part of that. Ricochet, as you mentioned, Jalen and Trey. With all of that understood, what do you think we should as a fan base have as expectations for this team? Obviously, growing together and improving is one thing, but in terms of potentially competing for where they've been the last couple of years in that play-in round, is that something that we're looking at?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's tough because you don't want to say, wow, things look great, and I really like the group that they've built. I like the plan that they have, and I like their chemistry. They should finish 10th. Womp womp. Like, no, you don't you don't want that. You don't want to set the expectation
womp,
there, right?
Womp.
Yeah. I think, look, here's the thing. You look at the Eastern Conference, and there's some really good teams in the East, really good teams. Boston, obviously, the Knicks, the 76ers, I think, are going to be really good with Paul George. The Heat are always good. I haven't even mentioned the Bucks and the Cavaliers yet, who should be top four teams. Okay, the East has a lot of good teams. The East also has a lot of bad teams, okay? The Hornets, the Wizards, the Pistons. The Hawks are not a bad team. They're not a great team. So where does that put you? play-in area. You know, maybe the ceiling is sixth. But I'm going to tell you that when you look at the quality of teams in the Eastern Conference, if the Hawks were to finish sixth in the regular season with this group, or maybe you make a trade somewhere down the line, Quinn Snyder ought to be a Coach of the Year candidate. I mean, that would be a tremendous achievement. And I wouldn't rule it out. I really wouldn't rule it out. I think the key is going to be, what do you get out of Reeves O'Shea, and can he overperform what is expected of him to do right at the outset of the season? And I don't want to put all my eggs in that basket, but again, I really loved what I saw from him in the preseason.
Mike, we appreciate it. Hawks get underway tomorrow night. Atlanta United with a playoff game tonight. I hope you get to enjoy a little bit of the Montreal weather while you're up there, not just work.
I am enjoying it thoroughly, and as soon as I get done with my next meeting, I'm going to go out for a walk. It's beautiful here. The leaves have changed and everything.
What a treat.
You know what it's like, Andy, when you get like a warm October day in the Pacific Northwest and the leaves have all changed. It's beautiful here, so I'm going to try.
I love fall foliage, Mike. Everyone knows that about me. We appreciate the time. Thank you. Mike Conte there, 92.9 The Game, Atlanta Hawks, Atlanta United broadcaster. He'll be on the call tonight with Jason Longshore. Starting at 7:30, Abe and Garrett will have the pregame starting at 6:30. Jason tells us there's a playoff history between Atlanta and Montreal that favors the city of Atlanta. Back in 1995, they went up there and took down the Montreal Impact in the old A-League playoffs in order to advance. So,
sounds like revenge is on the minds of the Montreal.
History can repeat itself. I wish they were still called the Montreal Impact. It's a great name. It's an awesome name. What are they now? Like FC Montreal or something?
CF. It's Montreal. A French thing. I don't know.
Yeah. Everybody's got to be FC or CF or Real or
United.
Just be what you were. Like the Kansas City Wizards was a great name. And then rainbows everywhere. It was awesome. It's my opinion.
Dallas Burn?
The Dallas Burn was great. Miami Fusion? You kidding me? The Tampa Bay Mutiny? Nobody had an S at the end of their mascot. It was all singular. I don't know. All right, we'll come back. We'll get you an NFL No Huddle to kick off the noon hour. Thanks for being with us. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.